Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meet Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, we got some exciting things coming up.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be a busy week.
It is. But in the meantime, we've got a guest with us. Now, I've known this guest for quite some time, and we've worked in the haunted attraction circuit for years. And now he's going to cross the bridge into pro wrestling and kind of combine the two, which is what the Wrestle Horror concept is all about. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to introduce Maiko. Maiko, how are you doing? It's been, a couple of days?
Yeah, a couple of days since we hit FGW together.
Right. So, you know, like I mentioned, we've haunted for years, and, you know, you even won the Haunter Championship with Maul at one point in time.
My trophy sitting right over there.
Yes, it is.
Place of honor.
So, and I know you and I have talked wrestling for years as well, and now you are looking to take the plunge into the pro wrestling world. How excited are you for this?
I cannot contain myself at this point, though. We talked about it at FGW. Every time I'm sitting there looking at the ring, it's just rubbing my hands like a little fly. Like, my turn. Yeah. It was all you, really, that you mentioning Cody Hawk's school that got me fully over that hump. Like, I'm gonna do it.
You know, Cody is a friend of the show. Donnie and I have spoken to him numerous times. Great. I mean, he's one of the best trainers out there, and reasonable. I mean, you're getting top-notch training here in the Cincinnati area, which, you know, Les Thatcher trained for years in this area, HWA, and now Cody is training. And, you know, look at some of the people that are on the map that Cody's trained, including John Moxley and Sammy Callahan.
Yeah. Just watched Callahan do a hell of a match last night.
I did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely can't go wrong with Cody, that's for sure.
So I know that you're excited to start training, and you told me you're starting in June. Mm-hmm. But you're prepping yourself up before that, aren't you?
Yes. I think right now this is the first day in the past 2 weeks I have decided to take a rest day, because I'm trying to stack up those Hindu squats because I've been warned.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I have noodle legs. But
you have to go in prepared, but he's going to put you through the ringer. I guarantee that.
Yeah. Like, I've got my weight room down the hall all set up. Got a heavy bag ready in the basement, so I'm just up and down going wild every day because I want to be ready as soon as I start.
Good deal.
So what really, I mean, let's take a step back, and what really got you interested in pro wrestling to begin with?
I think I kind of mentioned it the other night when we were talking. Like, my older brother was always really into it, and I finally sat down and watched with him one day, and I think I caught somewhere around like 94, 95 it would have been, just Undertaker coming in, and my eyes just lit up. Because obviously the haunt stuff and horror has been a thing my entire life. So seeing him, like, everything just clicked right at that moment. Like, I love this. Who is this guy? Who's the scary man and his little guy with an urn? I need to know everything about this. And I was in from then on.
As you started finding out some of the inner workings, because I know you're more than a mark, you're more than a smart mark, you're ready for this. When you started realizing the inner workings of what's going on, did it in any way disillusion you in your journey?
Honestly, no. I think it kind of pulled me in more, because, like, I've been doing convention stuff and haunting and acting and all that sort of thing for basically my entire life. And there was a whole lot of, like, I did LARPing with my friends and my family for a long time. So having that extra layer where it sort of tied into things that I was already doing and being able to see like character work and stage combat and all of that wound together into this thing made it even more interesting to me. It was so cool to see it be this big interconnected network of very in-depth and different things. Like, you got to know so much that all goes into bringing across what you see on TV or in indie shows.
Okay. And did you have something, Donnie?
Yeah, I was just wanting to touch on his haunt background.
Sure.
And because, like I said, it seems like it's a perfect subject and candidate for the wrestle horror theory. So, yeah, but so yeah, what's your background in haunting? What all have you done? Where have you been? That kind of thing.
Well, let me see. I think it was 2005. I saw an ad for the USS Nightmare that they were hiring, and basically, I just nudged my dad like, "Hey, go down there. Like, we've been doing makeup and stuff for years. Let's like." Go for it. And I was like, and if you get in, maybe see if they'll let me do it. Cause at the time, like they were saying you had to be 18 to work. And I was like, maybe if you're there, I can come. And it turned out to be exactly that. Like, well, as long as your father's here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I showed up that first year and just got thrown in here and there and just went wild. And apparently I got a natural knack for being a monster.
That always helps.
So I was there until 2012 or so, and moved up to Columbus to do school. And over the years, had met a couple people. I met Jason McCullum a few years before that, and he was setting up a thing called The Creep that they held at the Madison County Fairground, and it was so cool. It was so neat. Like, we were showing movies on the side of a barn. I think we had three or four houses. I'm sad it only lasted a year, but out of that spawned working with another person who Jim also knows, and I will just...
It's all good.
That. We ended up going after that to a place called the Haunted Hoorah in Ashley, Ohio. Weird concept, but it became the start of my traveling around and checking out different haunts. So I went from there to the Haunted Hoochie, and I don't have the constitution for it. I don't. A little too wild for me. And I believe after that was when I linked up with Maul.
It was.
It's been a whole lot of time at The Nightmare, where I went from basic getting bounced around scenes every night, like, you're going to be here, you're going to be here, and then started carving out spots where they especially liked me. Then every now and then I would start nudging, like, hey, so I made this, or I created this, and I guess I did well enough in my spots that they started giving me some leeway. And just sort of trusting my judgment when I show, like, I made this entire costume. Can I do this?
Very cool. Yeah, you mentioned Jason. He's becoming a very good friend of mine. I've been over there at Carnage when I can. I haven't been over there for a long while because of everything that's going on. But, yeah, I've been over there helping him build the new haunt and get it all ready. So, yeah, him and me and everybody over there, Sean and everybody, Ralph. So that's Carnage is going to be a big deal here in Columbus coming up soon.
Oh, I'm really excited to check out Carnage because The Creep was a fun time. That actually the Creep was the first place I got to really just do roaming acting. And that was the birthplace where I finally actually got to do the Wendigo. That was the first place it ever showed up.
Nice.
Well, I remember the Wendigo had quite the playground over at Indie Scream Park.
Oh, I miss my babies. I miss my backwoods family. I have my shirt still. I will be wearing that to shows when I start getting bookings. I'll have my backwoods shirt. maybe see if I can get out to, I know there's quite a few decent productions out in Indiana I've been looking at that I would love to get some matches at out there.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my next questions is, with you having the extensive haunt background and getting into wrestling and all that. And you mentioned to Jim and Jim's mentioned to me that you kind of, you know, you agree and believe in the concept that we're coming up with of mixing wrestling and haunting. Is that what you're going to be doing when you go into your character creation and all that? Do you already have your wrestling gimmick already thought out, or how are you going to do that?
Actually, yes. I kind of ran through ideas for a while because, I mean, Jim can attest, he's known me for a while. I'm absolutely terrible with needing to plan things out light years before it's even necessary. I want to go through it and find all the pitfalls I might need to smooth out. But like talking to him and a few other people have known me for a while, it's like, why wouldn't I just go with this character that I've been honing for hell, nearly a decade now?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it would be pretty easy to translate over. So I'm going with that. And over the past few months, especially, I've been like delving in through IWTV and some live events, whatnot, and finding other wrestlers who have sort of done that sort of thing. It turns out there's quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of looking at how they've done it. And like, I'm taking physical notes, mental notes of how to meet these things together so it flows right.
Right.
Like, I know I've talked with Jim about Abaddon a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she's definitely high up on the list of people who have gotten the wrestle horror thing right.
Right, yep. I actually watched one of her matches last night. Just flipping through YouTube and stumbled on it and was like, yeah, I'm going to stop a minute and check this out.
And, you know, Maiko brought it to my attention. Abaddon's only been wrestling for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. It's all about the gimmick. The gimmick got her noticed.
Right. So why can't Maiko do it? I mean.
All right. I'm interested to see how it plays out, starting from basically like phase one, you know, start from the very beginning and just follow along and see how it plays out.
Well, if I know him like I do, with the Wendigo concept and character, I've seen him move and it's not natural.
That's good. Normal is boring.
It would really, really create a creepy effect coming to the ring, I believe, if done properly with the right lighting, it could go over really well.
Very remind cool. me to put that in my ring rider. Like, must be lit like this at least 4 fog machines. We need some sinister sense in here.
Yeah.
I'm officially sponsored by Froggy.
Froggy's Fog's gonna be entering the wrestling business soon. I can tell it.
Probably already are.
I'm calling it now. Get Tater on the phone.
Tater, let's Tater, set us up with some.
Like, I'll get Tater linked up. I'll start showing up at promotions with pamphlets. Like, you know, I'm gonna take this to the next level.
Yep, there you go.
I know a guy.
You know, one thing, Maiko, you and I have discussed this off air several times, and you recently made a post about it, and you're praising the smaller talent out there, like Rey Mysterio and Marco Stunt, because you are all of 5'3".
Yep.
And that's okay. I mean, small people can do things that the bigger ones can't.
Yeah, I've been studying a lot of those guys to try and see how they do. And also, I guess it's going to have to come in with training and what I do to try and, I guess, meet out a style that works. Because, I mean, I know a lot of guys of my exact stature generally go for the lucha style.
Right.
You get sort of pigeonholed into that. Like, it's what's expected. It's like a lot of what I've studied over the years that I would be interested in doing is more of the, they call it shoot style. You see coming up with the, like the UWFI rules matches that have been going on with Paradigm. I'm wanting to go for more of a, like a, Minoru Suzuki is a big inspiration to me, but I feel like that would also help with getting some recognition to do something unexpected of a smaller wrestler.
Okay. So as the time ticks away, and it's you know June's going to be here before you know it. And I know that you are attending every event you can. I see you every Friday night at FGW. Well, let me ask you this. What are you thinking of the FGW promotion? Cody Hawk aside, what do you think of the promotion?
I'm really impressed by what they are managing to do with especially the current situation.
Right.
The fact that they're still managing to run. Making full use of the venue space they've got and having a lot of variety with their talent. It's like, I'm noticing like there's a good balance of like comedy angles, classic body guy types, even if they do appear to get injured a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm liking like, watching like how the storylines go, interaction, clear like long-term ideas on old rivalries and old betrayals, and it's got me pulled in. I want to see where this goes. I want to know more about it. Like that first one I went to with you guys, I was immediately like, well, obviously I've got to be at Origins now. I've got to see how this plays out.
Right. It's definitely a lot of fun. I can't wait for NOW to get back into the swing of things.
Tell me about it. I'm itching.
So, Donnie, why don't we pitch some of our Wrestle Horror concept stuff to Maiko? And since it kind of it works into everything we're doing, what did you want to talk about as far as our class? That's the big thing I should mention first before we get started on that. Mm-hmm. Is if you're listening or watching this, probably listening to this because the video won't be up in time because I'm lazy. if you're listening to this before Thursday, Donnie and I will be doing a HauntCon workshop called Wrestling with Your Character.
Mm-hmm.
Which introduces the Wrestle Horror concept into the idea of incorporating pro wrestling into haunted house acting, mm-hmm. which some people may have done in the past, but we're trying to make it a little more cohesive and bring it out as a course that people can follow.
Right.
And it's going to be at hauntcon.com, and it's free to register, if I'm not mistaken, to attend. Mm-hmm. It's a virtual convention, and all the online education is free. But our workshop is limited to 8 live participants.
Right.
If you don't get the opportunity to be in on that workshop, there will be a replay on their website, I believe. Isn't that right, Donnie?
Yeah, they are going to be recording it. So people will be able to watch it at a later time if they're not able to participate. And to sign up for it, we shortened the link because it was pretty long. It's bit.ly/ HauntCon workshop, and go there and get registered. And like I said, we can only take up to 8 because of time restraints. Right. And then, it will be recorded, and we are going to be exploring this more in the future and developing a training course on the whole concept and everything else. So it should work out pretty good.
But some of the topics that we're going to introduce, and Maiko, I think you're going to appreciate some of these. Is incorporating certain simple wrestling moves into the character itself to make them appear more violent.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Stuff that it's a key to where you can do it and to make it more violent and physical, but to keep it also safe for everybody involved. Yep.
Right. So we're going to pull back the curtain a little bit and show you some things that we shouldn't probably show you because some wrestlers might get mad at us down the road. But
yeah, these days it's kind of like, I mean, yeah, it's all over the internet.
Right, kayfabe's not what it used to be.
Right,
but there's going to be short videos about how to do a headlock, how to do a hair throw, how to do a punch safely.
Mm-hmm.
And if these are done properly, the concept is you're giving people a show they see, and you could be just pounding this person, blood's just flying, and you can do this over and over all night long and still be safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of this concept, and that's why we're excited about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, just say, for instance, the Maiko character. Like I said, I haven't seen the Maiko character, so I don't know a lot about it. But I'm sure you could take some wrestling, especially with you. So you're going to get the best of both worlds because you're going to start wrestling training. So all the training that Cody's going to be providing you, you could take some of that and apply it to your character in a scene. You know, just say, like I've used this example before, like if you're in a scene, like a butcher scene or something like that, and there's a table, you know, you set up the safe padding on the other side, and your whole scene you could interact and make it more violent by grabbing a victim and throwing them over the table or throwing them into the wall, or maybe grabbing them by their hair and shaking their hair, you know, punching or biting, you know, just stuff that makes it look more violent, but is actually safe. And because like I pointed out on our last podcast, you don't see a lot of it in haunted houses anymore. To where you go into a scene and there's actually like physical violence, you know, you'll see body parts, you'll see somebody hacking their arm off on the table or something of that, but you don't see somebody actually grabbing or touching another actor and physically causing them harm. You know what I mean? So it could be played out in many different ways. It's just, you know, depending on the person's imagination. And that's kind of what we want to start going with. And, you know, just kind of trying to mesh the two together because of the similarities.
Kind of like me in Queen City Slaughter Yard, my last year at the Dent Schoolhouse, a very, very physical role that I did. And there'll be a picture of it in the presentation. I would chase this girl and I would snap her neck night after night after night after night after night. Every time somebody came through, all completely safe, but it looks scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And at other times I had another actress that was with me that was even lighter, and I would pin her up to the wall with her feet not touching the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ways to do these things safely. You just have to be taught.
Yep.
And that's the concept in a nutshell.
Yeah. And the big thing is selling. And just from what I've heard, you said you're 5'3" and kind of a small frame person, you'd just, for an instance, you know, you'd be a great victim, not even doing the Maiko character, just as a like a stand-in. Once you learn to bump and protect yourself and fall safely and or do whatever and learn how to sell, then you know, you could become a victim for a big monster of some sorts in a scene and let them just, you know, thrash you around to where it looks like they're tearing you, you know, apart, but you're completely safe, you know. So just that'd be a kind of an example, and it would add a shock value to the scene as well.
Yeah, they did try to do that for a little bit at the USS Nightmare. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of years back. There were a couple scenes where they set up to have victims. And in some of the cases, because they didn't do an overarching training thing, which they really should have, it right. would have made it a lot easier to do. But it depended on the pair that got put together per room. Some of them worked it out really good where they would get like a good Kane Hodder choke, but doing it quickly enough that you don't see the hand that's actually down on the hip, right, hefting them up, and they're sort of holding themselves up a bit. It looked good. It looked effective. But because you're just coming in through the room, all you see is someone getting thrashed around. You don't notice that they're doing it very safe.
Right. Yeah.
But on the other hand, you'd have the people who would just grab their victim by the arm and just whip them.
Yeah,
like you're gonna dislocate a shoulder, you gotta stop.
All right. Yeah, right. Yeah, the big thing is for definitely safety. And I would make sure that whoever wants to incorporate this at least get trained and that kind of thing first. But but did you think that the violence and stuff like the Kane Hodder choke and all that was a little more effective for the customers?
Oh, when it was through? Great. It freaked people out. And he mentioned Indie Scream Park, the backwoods in particular. Like, I slotted right in there. I got along with a lot of those people. So I worked out bits with some of them. And especially the, you remember the Trapper Cabin?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a good couple times I would go in and I would just join in their act. I'd jump up on that table where they had the girl chained, like grab the neck, thrash her around, pretend to be biting at her and ripping her up. And people would be coming in, they would freak. Mm-hmm. People flipped out, and all it took was a little extra cell from my victim saying they had no clue where I came from. I just came out of the woods somewhere, and that just, it sent it through the roof. Like, it makes it more believable, and people coming through, they just see someone getting absolutely mangled.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And yeah. As soon as they're out of the room, we reset it, like, you good? You good? All right, cool. And we could just do that all night.
Yeah, and that's going to be exciting for you when you start
more.
When you start getting that full wrestling training coming up, like the idea, I can see the ideas will start pouring out of you. The more you learn, the more you learn to incorporate it.
Like, it's a really good concept, like in both directions, both for haunt actors and for wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Like learning how to keep it safe while looking incredibly heavy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Things I've been talking to a lot of wrestlers and trainers and whatnot, thanks to the magic of the Twitters and seeing people talk about, like, there's some people who say you shouldn't do like the leg slap. Like, if you have to do the leg slap, then you're not hitting hard enough and it's taking away from it. But on the same token, this is said by somebody who currently can't wrestle anymore because of injuries.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, you can make it look good and you can make it look nasty and brutal without being horribly injured. Right. You're always going to get hurt, but it's better to try and not get, well, that's my whole career at like 27 and now we're done.
Yep. Right. I can attest to that firsthand.
Yeah. Like, just because you wanted that slam to look good and now you're out for 6 months or something.
Yep. Best to be safe. See, I wrestled back in 97s when I started up in the early 2000s. So I was in the ECW era. And so I was more hardcore wrestling. I worked with IWA Mid-South out there and did the death matches and stuff. And so, so injuries came pretty easy for me. But, if I had it to do all over again, I still probably would have done a couple just because I had fun. But I'd have definitely protected myself a lot more than I did throughout my career.
And his name was Shank Dorsey.
Shank Dorsey.
Yep.
That is a classical, old school, hardcore name if I've ever heard of one.
Yep, he was an ex-con from the Orient Correctional Institute.
It all just flows together. It's like, it's knowing how to do it. Yep. Like, and that, like, even in the death matches, and people go like, oh, well, they're just swinging things and breaking things and there's no art to it, but that's one of the big ones I've been seeing a lot of during like the lockdown. A lot of the companies that do death matches have been running a lot, like ICW, IWA, No Peace. I've been watching a lot of that and also seeing a lot of that criticism that they, oh, well, you're just swinging around and you're going to get killed and this and that.
Yeah.
But I'm watching like these people, these guys actually are really good wrestlers too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little extra ultra violence for flavor.
Right.
But yep. You can always
there's an art form into itself just by doing that, learning to use all those weapons without actually killing each other.
Yeah. Like watching it very closely because I'm planning to, you know, go into the industry. I'm watching how they react and block and prepare for these things.
Mm-hmm.
I see like the light tubes coming down.
Yeah,
and you see them, you get a good tuck, squeeze your eyes shut.
Yep.
It's all about preparation and knowing how to make it look even better while not getting much glass in your eyeballs or anything like that.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't recommend the hardcore style nowadays. I would stick to more traditional if I could, if I was you. But I mean, to each their own, if that's their thing. Yeah, that was my thing. So that's what I did. So, you know, I can't judge.
Oh, I didn't wrestle, but I'll take the ring announcer and part-time commentator. role. I'm still working on my commentating skills. There's got a way to go, but I like my gimmick. Meat Hook Jim, I like it, so.
There you go.
I'm working on it. I'm evolving it a little bit. I keep threatening to wear my red assassin mask.
There you go. You know what you need to do is just start watching like YouTube videos of wrestling matches.
Yep.
And just like get on Zoom like we're doing now and just record yourself commentating on them.
That's a good idea.
Going back and watching them.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah. Just practice. I mean, honestly, just like for wrestlers cutting promos, you just stand in a mirror and you look in a mirror and start working on your facial expression. Start cutting your promos in the mirror. It gets better.
Yeah.
Reminds me of something I saw a while back. It was Eddie Kingston. I think they've been doing it on BTE every now and then, where they just hand him something. They say, cut a promo on that.
Yep.
Seeing him trash talk a cookie, chips, a chair, I think a balloon one time.
He definitely got the gift of gab, that's for sure.
That's part of it. And that's just another part of the concept. I mean, those are things that are required you've got to be able to cut good promos as a wrestler. Mm-hmm. And why can't you cut a quote unquote good promo as a haunt actor if you have a speaking role?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's to say you can't say something that just scares the hell out of somebody, gets their attention, makes them think, makes them remember you? That's the prime thing. You want people to remember your character. It doesn't matter if you're a haunt actor or a pro wrestler. You want people to remember that character.
Exactly. And on the promo thing, like I was talking with somebody a few weeks ago about how it would be beneficial for pretty much all wrestlers to do some form of acting classes, acting training of some sort. And I talked to them about doing a haunt acting. And I can't think of like many other opportunities for acting that can prepare you quite as well for like dealing with crowds. Because especially once I started doing like roaming and cue acting, you got to be on your toes the whole time.
Yes, you do.
Like you don't know what's going to happen. You've watched sometimes. I'm just in the midst of a crowd and someone's trying to grab this, or I've got someone talking here, or I'm interacting with these people and someone comes from over here and I've got to be able to quick change and deal with all of these people at once, and sometimes dealing with belligerent people and just letting it roll off your back for one thing. Cause I've also like, I've seen other haunt actors and I've seen wrestlers when somebody's getting heckly and they lose their cool a bit.
No,
stay in character and just roll with it. Yep. Just roll with it.
You can still turn it around on them in character. And, you know, I got to say, I've watched you, after I kind of slowed down in acting and I was just out there observing everybody, I've watched you multiple times. And let's make no mistake, the Wendigo was a very popular character, bar none, out at Indie Screen Park. And you were constantly dealing with a crowd of people if you weren't inside Backwoods. I watched this, and I watched the way you moved, and I watched the way you presented yourself, and I watched the way that people were reacting to you, and never once did I see you break that character. You were always moving as the Wendigo would, not as Maiko would.
Yeah. I got good and locked into that years and years ago.
Yeah.
Like from my first day at Nightmare, honestly, and I can thank all the years of doing convention work and LARPing for that. Like once you're in character, you're in character, and that's it. Like once I'm locked into it, that's it. And sometimes I will not even drop it for people I'm working with.
Yeah, I know.
Like unless it's necessary, like there's an emergency.
Right.
You're not talking to me.
Right.
You're talking to whatever I'm playing at the time.
Right. I can attest to this as being your boss, because I've tried and you wouldn't break. And it was a test. And you never failed that test.
Like, unless you tell me it's absolutely necessary to speak to me,
right,
I'm going to keep it up. Especially if there's even one patron that can see me sort of.
Right.
Then I'm going to stay in the normal posture. I'm going to have my hands up. stooped, flicking around with the skull on my head, always on guard. Like, if you can see me, I'm in character.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And I'll tell you, the two that stick in my mind the most during the mall time was you and Brett Ryan. Brett as Bledsoe the Clown terrified a girl so much that she had to be taken away in an ambulance.
I still remember that picture.
I had to physically move him away from her because he would not stop. She is in a fetal position. She is on the ground and she's catatonic and he's still coming at her. It's like, Bledsoe, go away. I took me three times and I had to push him away.
Right. Yeah.
And then there's the infamous ambulance shot.
It was amazing.
But, and a lot of mall actors were very good at staying in character. I'm not saying anything bad about any of the actors because we had a top-notch crew.
Yeah. It's just sometimes when it's on to about 100 and we broke the knob off.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Precisely. And
I know there's at least a few where I had to be located because I was just in the woods somewhere following people.
Yes.
And nobody can see me.
I think there was one time they'd shut the haunt down and we were still looking for you.
Well, there are still a few people in the backwoods. People always took forever walking through there.
That's like, we're walking. All right, we got to go. Where are you? But hey, it's the character. You were making sure that everybody got the same experience.
I get caught up sometimes. I think my favorite times were always being back there and finding their actors who didn't know that I was there. Like, nothing ever makes me feel better than when other haunt actors are absolutely terrified of me.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that kid the last year I was out at Indy with you guys? There was one of their actors from the backwoods who had to be at least your height, Jim.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He was scared of like, did not want me anywhere near him. I was like, sir, you can throw me. I'm scared of you.
He was actually bigger than me.
He was what, 17?
Yes.
Gigantic kid.
He was. He was 17, and I think he was like 6'7", 6'8".
Nice.
Every time I saw him from then on, he was watching me. He had to keep tabs on me. He was like an elephant being chased by a mouse.
Nice.
You know, these are all prime examples of things that can work in both industries. You know, that's I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's the wrestle horror concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, he's going to have a big advantage, like with the improv and the cue line and stuff. That's live action improv. You know, you're on
right.
You're on from the time you start to the time you finish, and you only get one take. You know, there's no cuts and retries. Right. You know, and so you're good at improv. So like the crowd, when they heckle you, you'll be good with your comebacks. You know, promo skills. You'll develop those real well. And another important thing is like reading the crowd. Just like how if you, like you said, the girl was curled up, terrified, you know, terrorized, and you know there's a certain point, like, okay, we need to back off and cut it off. You know, same thing with reading a crowd in wrestling. If a fan's getting too belligerent, you know, to, like, move on or back off. If a fan's looking boring, you know, you maybe get on them to try to get them up, you know. It's reading the crowd. So, like, everything that you guys are doing in the cue line and stuff will carry over in wrestling in the same way.
Yeah,
you know, just different scenarios. So it's definitely going to help for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad that, like, another reason I'm sticking with the character is, like, I've honed it down. I've gone through crowds in different states with the same character, gone through multiple iterations of, like, the look and the mannerisms and everything, and been able to watch different crowds and see how they reacted and whittle it down into what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, did your character like actually walk through the line, like in between people and get close and up close with people? Because that could be something you could add to your ring entrance. You know, you walk through your ring entrance and just go out into the crowd. Yeah, and just start walking through the crowd.
I walk among them. I pop up from the ground or out of places above them, or run around on all fours and absolutely horrify them.
Yeah, so you
can I'm on all that. Levels.
You could add all that to your ring entrance in different buildings and stuff, different scenarios.
Right. I've been contemplating it. Like, I've even been like, when we're out at FGW, I'm looking around like, so where could I come into this room from? Like, if we shut off all the lights, I could probably come through the door and be in the crowd without them noticing I've entered. I could try that.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be more effective once the restrictions are lifted and there's more people in the venue.
Right, yeah.
But yes, and I can't wait, you know, and I know this is very premature, but I can't wait to see your ring entrance gear.
I mean, the skull's probably going to be a fixture. It's still in great shape. It's actually hanging up over my bed right now. Like, that thing is my pride and joy. Almost definitely that's gonna be part of it. I might make a couple other ones. A couple people had recommended I possibly try sorting out ones that would be safer to have on in the ring.
Okay.
You've seen people run into my antlers before.
Yes yes. Yeah, that could be a problem.
That'll be a good thing of having Cody as your trainer, because you'll be able to present all this to him and he'll say yes, no, you know, keep that, lose that, and to where it's safe for you and everybody else. So, I mean, once you guys hone it down, I think it'll be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm between my personal talks with Cody and the reactions I've gotten, even just telling people that's who I'm going to go train with, I am very excited to be going to him, because I know anything that I present to him, he's got absolutely perfect advice for it. He's got all the years under his belt and he's seen enough that if he thinks something's not going to work, he's almost definitely right. Right. If he thinks I should do something like this or more like that, I'm going to listen.
Yep.
Like, I am absolutely ecstatic to be working with somebody with this much scope of experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely a good one to be on your side for sure.
I don't have the crickets button. I don't have it programmed. So we've talked about a lot. Maiko, I know that you're really excited about this, and I guess the question for you now is, while you're waiting for June, what all are you doing to prep?
Let's see. Other than, like, FGW is actually part of prep. Like, I want to be able to watch up close and personal, especially with people that more than likely I'll be working.
Right.
I am devouring just tons of wrestling at this point, like TV, independent, old stuff, extra old stuff. Like, I've watched some bits of Gotch, like all the way back. Doing home workouts while I wait for gyms to be a bit more safe. Probably in a few months, going to reach out to a local place to start doing like grappling training, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Okay. And I've got a couple seminars that I'm planning to check out. You can always use some extra in the pocket. Just have a couple big bushels of notes. The first one I've got coming up is at the end of February. I'll be getting a seminar and a nice house show to check stuff out. I'm gonna go see G-Raver, who is obviously going to be a big influence on getting into this. Also big in people I look at and go, yeah, there's a wrestle horror person. So I'm already very excited. I'm stacking up all the learning and training that I can before I even get to Cody.
Another good person you could probably reach out to is Brutal Bob Evans, who we've had on the show before. And Donnie's got a working relationship with him.
Yeah, actually, he just come up with a membership site. It's called thewrestlelife.com. Ooh. And it's 20, he's doing a 50% off for life thing. It's like $25 a month. I joined it myself just so I could, because I'm always trying to learn new stuff, even though I'm not an active wrestler anymore. I'm just a promoter, but I still like to try to learn. But yeah, he's a wealth of knowledge. And his main focus is on helping wrestlers to create an income with wrestling, more than just their booking fee and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I would definitely go check him out. Brutal Bob Evans, his name. He used to work for Ring of Honor, WWE, all that. And his website's thewrestlelife.com. And he's got a bunch of videos about wrestling training and on how to do like a three-show loop and save as much money as you can, how to book hotels, how to take flights. I mean, like anything a wrestler would need, he has in this membership site. So I would definitely check it out. It would help you.
The future certainly is great. Just and get all the knowledge and all the things not to do
right
before I jump right into it.
There you go. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
So is there any way people, is there anything that you want to put out for social media or anything like that, Michael?
I suppose, like, if you wanted to follow my Twitter, for whatever reason you want to do that, to see me just blathering about wrestling like a big geek. Because that's mostly what you're going to get right now.
And what's that Twitter handle?
That is Wendigogo.
At Wendigogo?
Yes, at Wendigogo, but the O's are zeros because somebody already took the best name I could have ever come up with.
Aha. So Wendigogo with zeros instead of O's. Yeah. On Twitter.
He's going to blather with me about the upcoming GCW Fight Forever. Is I'm going to try and stick out the full 24 hours for that. Wish me luck.
All right.
Sooner rather than later, there'll be content there of me, you know, actually doing my own wrestling as opposed to just telling everyone about other really cool wrestlers.
Yep. I have no doubt with your excitement and enthusiasm. I look forward to watching your career as you progress because I see big things for you in the future.
I hope so. I am ready. And man, I hope everyone doesn't just think I'm a big dork. Because I'm a big dork.
Who cares what everybody thinks?
Right.
You do you.
That's right. Absolutely. Do you.
Mark out for everyone.
There you go.
Well, with that being said, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Wrestle Horror. You can check out the really behind Wrestle Horror video YouTube channel. And if you can, check us out at HauntCon. Check out our class. If you can get in on our class, if you have to catch the replay, either way, you know, let us know what you think about it. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like. And keep an eye out for the Wrestle Horror concept that's going to be coming to a training session online near you. I'm Meat Hook Jim for the Wrestle Horror, along with Maiko and Donnie Hoover. We will catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram at WrestleHorror, Twitter at WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the WrestleHorror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.